Laudator Jesus Christus, Vatican and World News.
In the headlines this Sunday, November 24th, Pope Francis witnesses the handover of the World Youth Day symbols to Korean youth as he celebrates Mass on the Solemnity of Christ the King. The Pope urges Christians to bear witness to Christ as the liturgical year comes to a close, and delegates at COP29 in Azerbaijan hammer out a deal to help developing nations mitigate the effects of climate change. In the Vatican, I'm Devin Watkins. Pope Francis presided at Mass today as the Church marked the Solemnity of Christ the King and the 39th World Youth Day. In his homily, the Pope urged young people to embrace their love for God and life despite the accusations they may face from others. Thaddeus Jones reports.
As the Church celebrates the annual World Youth Day on the Solemnity of Christ the King, Pope Francis witnessed the handover of the World Youth Day cross and icon of Mary Salus Populi Romani. At the conclusion of Mass in St. Peter's Basilica on Sunday, several Portuguese young people handed over the World Youth Day symbols to a delegation from South Korea as they prepare to host World Youth Day in Seoul in 2027. In his homily, the Pope called these symbols a sign and invitation for Christians to live out the gospel without becoming discouraged and never ceasing to hope. As the Church's liturgical year came to a close, he urged the faithful to feel uplifted by the certainty of Christ's eternal kingdom. Young people, said Pope Francis, should take courage from Jesus' faithfulness to God in the midst of trials and public humiliation. Like him, they too sometimes feel accused for following Jesus and face pressure to conform to ways that are contrary to the gospel.
Cari giovani, forse a volte può capitare anche a voi.
The Pope said, do not be afraid of condemnations. Have no worries. Sooner or later, their criticism will fall through, their condemnations will prove false, and their superficial values will be revealed for what they are, illusions. The Pope noted that love is the only thing that will remain, and so we must embrace the eternal gift of God's love. God, he noted, loves each of us as we are, so we have no need to seek worldly approval on social media or by any other means. The Pope said, before God, the innocence of your dreams are worth more than success and fame, and the sincerity of your intentions are worth more than worldly approval. Pope then emphasized the importance of truth, which frees us from the chains of self-sufficiency, injustice, and unhappiness. In conclusion, Pope Francis assured the faithful that world events have not escaped God's watchful eye, saying, it's not true that history is written by oppressors and tyrants. Christ, the just and merciful King, he said, will ultimately sit in judgment over each person. He corrects us when we fall, but he never ceases to love us, concluded the Pope. If we wish, he picks us up so that we can continue on our journey with joy. I'm Thaddeus Jones.
At the Angelus Prayer, Pope Francis prayed for war-torn countries, recalling especially the suffering of the people of Myanmar. He invited everyone to pray, especially for the most vulnerable, including children, the elderly, and those who are sick, and refugees such as the Rohingya. Myanmar marks its National Day on Monday, which commemorates the start of the 1920 student protest that eventually led to the country's independence from British rule in 1948. Speaking to those involved in the current conflict in Myanmar, the Pope made a heartfelt appeal for them to lay down their arms and to begin a sincere, inclusive dialogue capable of ensuring lasting peace. He also asked everyone to pray for people suffering in Ukraine, Palestine, Israel, Lebanon, and Sudan. In his remarks ahead of the Angelus, the Pope invited the faithful to listen to the voice of Christ the King. As King of the universe, said Pope Francis, Christ made himself the servant of all, bringing light and hope into the world. Linda Bordoni has more.
Reflecting on the Gospel of John, which presents the dialogue between Jesus and Pontius Pilate, Pope Francis noted how this passage transforms the meaning of two key words, king and world. Pilate, he said, questions Jesus, wanting to know if he poses a threat to his authority. Thinking as an imperial official, Pilate sees kingship as worldly power and control, the Pope explained. But Jesus responds that his kingship is different. Jesus is a king because he is a witness. He speaks the truth. The royal power of Jesus, the incarnate word, the Pope explained, lies in his ability to transform the world through truth and love. Then, contrasting the world of Pilate with the kingdom of Jesus, the Holy Father noted that Pilate's world is one where the strong triumph over the weak, the rich over the poor, and the violent over the meek. It's a world, he said, we know all too well. But Jesus brings a new world, the kingdom of heaven, prepared by God for all people through his saving love. This kingdom, the Pope said, redeems creation ruined by evil with divine love that brings peace, justice, and forgiveness. Pope Francis reflected on Pilate's failure to understand Jesus, despite being so close to him. This is because Pilate does not open himself to the truth, even though it's before him, the Pope said, and reminding Christians that Christ came into this world for all of us. He encouraged them to reflect on their relationship with Christ. Listening to the Lord, he said, brings light into our hearts and our lives. Ask yourselves, he concluded, whether his word is your guide and your certainty, whether you see in him the merciful face of God towards yourselves and towards every brother and sister. I'm Linda Bordoni.
Delegates at the COP29 Climate Summit in Baku, Azerbaijan, have agreed to create a $300 billion a year fund to help developing nations mitigate the effects of climate change. As Stefan Boss reports, the deal fell short of original requests, but was more than the first proposal of developed nations.
After some 11 long days of often tense negotiations, the 29th United Nations Climate Change Conference, known as COP29, concluded with a deal that campaigners said was a betrayal of the developing world. Under the deal, the developing countries should receive at least $1.3 trillion a year in funds to help them shift to a low-carbon economy. The money will also help them to set up infrastructure, to help them cope with the impacts of extreme weather by 2035. COP29 President Mukhtar Bubayev seemed pleased with the outcome.
They doubted that everyone could agree. They were wrong on both. With this breakthrough, the Baku finance goal will turn billions into trillions over the next decade.
However, not everyone shares his enthusiasm. Critics noted that only $300 billion of the promised $1.3 billion will come primarily in the form of grants and low-interest loans from the developed world. The rest will have to come from private investors and a range of potential new sources of money, such as possible taxes on fossil fuels and frequent flyers, which have yet to be agreed. That angered India, explained the Indian delegation representative, Gandhi Raina.
Excellency, I regret to say that this document is nothing more than an optical illusion. This, in our opinion, will not address the enormity of the challenge we all face.
Some of the world's poorest and most vulnerable countries fought hard during 2 weeks of fraught negotiations at the COP29 UN summit in Azerbaijan's capital, Baku, for a bigger slice of the money to come directly from developed countries. For Vatican Radio, I am Stefan Bos, reporting.
An Israeli Moldovan Jewish rabbi was reportedly murdered after going missing in the United Arab Emirates, according to Israeli officials. Nathan Morley reports.
Zvi Kogan, who was 28, was an envoy of the Orthodox Jewish organization Chabad. His disappearance 4 days ago sparked an immediate response from Israel's Mossad and police within the United Arab Emirates. Finally, the discovery of his body was announced not long after the recovery of his abandoned car. No information was given on the exact cause of death. According to the news portal Ynet in Tel Aviv, the rabbi lived in the Emirates and ran a kosher supermarket in Dubai. The office of Israel's Prime Minister, Benjamin Netanyahu, said Mr. Kogan had been murdered. A statement described it as a criminal, anti-Semitic terrorist incident. Israel said it would act in all of its abilities to bring justice to the criminals responsible for his death. Israel's National Security Council echoed its advice on Sunday to avoid non-essential travel to the United Arab Emirates. The council recommended Israelis to limit travel to the country unless it was absolutely essential or on government business. The Emirates were the first Gulf state to establish diplomatic relations with Israel back in the year 2020. For Vatican Radio, this is Nathan Morley reporting.
In Jordan, a gunman was dead and three Jordanian policemen injured after a shooting near the Israeli embassy in the capital Amman early on Sunday. Police shot the gunman who had fired at the police patrol in the Rabia neighborhood of the Jordanian capital. An investigation is ongoing. Romanians started voting today in the first round of a presidential election, with voters focused on high living costs and the country's support for Ukraine. Opinion surveys showed Prime Minister Marcel Ciuțu making it into the runoff vote set for December 8th. The Synod on Synodality may have wrapped up last month, but the effects on the church are just beginning. Sean Finnenstadt is a Jesuit seminarian studying in Johannesburg, South Africa. He told Vatican Radio about his future ministry as a priest and saying it will be guided by synodality.
The impact of the Synod on Synodality that I have observed in the church is its power to build and rebuild communities. The first phase of the synodal process happened shortly after the COVID lockdowns. Many communities had been decimated by this worldwide pandemic. And yet, the Synod provided an opportunity for people to come together again, to share their experiences of God and of the Church, and to listen to one another, and to listen to different experiences of the Church across cultures and across generations. This coming together, this sharing, and this listening seemed to bring people together in a new way. Many people said, "For the first time I feel listened to, for the first time I feel part of the Church," and this seemed to have the power to build new communities and to rebuild communities that had fallen apart. This, I believe, is what the Church is invited to today, especially here in Africa. Let us become more synodal. Let us come together again. Let us share. Let us listen. Let us grow in communion, in participation and mission, and allow ourselves to be rebuilt as a church around the world and also in our local contexts.
Thanks there to Sean Findenstadt, a Jesuit seminarian studying in Johannesburg, South Africa. Cardinal François Xavier Bustillo, Bishop of Ajaccio, has welcomed Pope Francis' upcoming apostolic visit to Corsica on December 15th. The Cardinal called the visit a beautiful Christmas present for the faithful of the Mediterranean French island. He said the Pope is coming to take part in a conference on popular religious traditions along with bishops from the northern Mediterranean. The event, said Cardinal Bustillo, seeks to highlight the importance of popular devotions like processions and candlelight vigils. The visit will mark the first time a pope has traveled to the island where Napoleon Bonaparte was born. That brings us to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. For more on these and other stories, please visit vaticannews.va. And don't forget to catch our latest updates on Facebook, X, and Instagram. Many thanks go to Adriano Vitali in studio. In the Vatican, I'm Devin Watkins.